tonight on this Monday night, revival time. Stand with me if you would as we sing our first song tonight, Mansion Over the Hilltop, old familiar song here. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Though
Jesus will.
Singing tonight, you may be seated. Brother Kevin Loney, would you open us in prayer, please?
Welcome, welcome. You made it, good stuff. Well, today, in honor of spring, I wore yellow. It's actually a true story. I'm like, yeah, it's springtime. I got this morning, I'm like, I break out the yellow. It was okay, 55, and I'm not sure what happened. But I'd be getting lazy of not watching the weather app. I'm just, no big deal. We're in that time. It'll be fine. And so winter's back. Just want to let you know. So cold stuff. And I apologize for the heat. I forgot until late as well. These are all automatic. And so it's nice and warm in here. It's actually toasty. I know no one's complaining because it's freezing outside, but it should be more balanced tomorrow. That's one of the negatives of everything being automatic. You just expect everything to come on, you know, and so it's not on our normal schedule, but good stuff, nice and toasty inside. And so good to see you out. And I tell you what, it's worth the extra effort to come and be ministered unto. And so I appreciate you doing that without a doubt. So we've got a special tonight, several specials. And so we're looking forward to that and get right into it and into the Word of God. So again, we appreciate the Youngs being here. Thank you so much for being a part. I know you'll be blessed. If this is your first night, you will be blessed by it. So the friends, if you'll come and see.
Oh,
was singing with them. You just didn't hear me. All right, back there. It's a beautiful song. Thank you, friend, family. Appreciate that. One more time, stand with me if you would. Farther along, tempted and tried. Listen, tempted and tried. You may be seated, Miss Sherry. Someday I'm going home.
have sung with those walking through a fiery trial. I've seen their saddened faces turned into happy smiles. I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. I am glad I can tell you He's given victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday
Thank you, Ms. Sherry. Appreciate that. Well, it's already been good, and we're looking forward to tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Appreciate Brother Jake Young as well as Jacob Welch and all the helpers taking care of our kids. And so at this time, we're going to dismiss our kindergartners through sixth grade, those that want to go back. So you can head out this direction like you did last night. If you're not sure where to go, follow everyone else, and they will get you there. Good group there. Appreciate everybody helping out with that. While they're doing that, I'm going to ask Brother Stephen Sandala to come, and he's going to just share a little bit. He'll be presenting Wednesday night, and then when he's done, of course, Brother Dave Young will come, and I'm going to guess being Ephesians, which will be really, really good. So we're looking forward to it. But this is Brother Stephen Sandala. Again, I got to be careful, but we're excited for him to just kind of share just a little bit tonight, and you'll be seeing them around next two or three days. You come get to know them, their family, and appreciate them and their ministry to the Czech Republic. So I'll let him share just a little bit about that, introduce them tonight. So, Stephen, Lord bless.
Thank you, sir. I just want to say I'm very thankful to be here and just for the opportunity to be able to present the Czech Republic. And it's been a blessing. Everybody's been very hospitable. I'm just very grateful for that and thankful for the preaching that we've been able to hear already. It's been a blessing as well. And so my name is Stephen Sandala, or I say it about five different ways myself, so don't feel bad about it. You replace the vowels with pretty much any vowel sound, and it's close enough. So then I got my wife, my precious wife Gina, over here, and we have five kids. We have Emma, Audrey, Madeline, Nathan, and Claire. And so they're three of them are that way, two of them are that way. They're all over the place. And just like at home, they're all over the place. But they're a blessing. And just very blessed with the family that God has given me. And they all, even the kids are thinking how well they travel. And it's been a blessing to be on deputation with them. But as we say, we're going to the field of the Czech Republic. And it's right in the middle of Europe. And yeah, it's a very needy place. We have about 10.5 million people. The land size is about the same as the state of South Carolina, and currently there is one independent Baptist missionary in that country. And so you imagine if you were there and you're that missionary, you get to reach those 10 million people. You're the only one there to tell them about Christ. So, God has called us to go there, and we know there's a lot of work ahead of us, but I think it's also at a time when the Czech people are ready. I think that's kind of give you an idea of what I mean, there's been a lot of different times in their history where, you know, they had different things forced on them. They had Catholicism forced on them at one point. Then they were basically forced to be atheist and all these different things. And it's put them in an interesting place where really they don't trust people, especially not religious people. But at the same time, it's left them knowing that they're missing something. And there's people there that are definitely searching for truth. When we got to take our survey trip over there, our very first day in the country, we were staying at a hotel. We got to go down for the hotel breakfast, and it was a crowded breakfast area, so we could sit at a table, and there's a Czech man sitting across from us, and he spoke some English. We did not speak any Czech, and I still don't. I'm trying, but I don't think I pronounce anything right. I'm still trying, but so this Czech man, he knew some English, and so he told us to call him Cliff because he knew as Americans we could not pronounce his Czech name. And so he said, you know, he had lived in this town outside of Prague. We were in Prague at the time, and we got to ask him some questions. He said he used to go to the Catholic church that was in his town, and then he stopped going there after he started reading his Bible, because he realized what the church was teaching him was not the Bible. And so he stopped going there. And then we asked him, you know, do you have somewhere else that you could go now? Or anywhere you're going to church? He said, there is nowhere else. There's no other options in his town. And it's not just the town that he was from. It's all across the country. And it's to the point where if you're trying to talk to somebody over there and you're talking about Christ, they automatically assume you're Catholic, because they're not even aware that you can be something other than atheist or Catholic for the most part. But when you actually get to talk to them and you get to understand kind of where they're coming from, and they listen to you and get to realize that you're not Catholic, you're teaching them something different. You want to teach them about having a relationship with Christ. This man that we got to talk to in another place, he really opened up to us, and he realized what we were wanting to share with them was different. And I think God has really brought the Czech people to a place where they're a lot more ready for the gospel now and in this day than they have been at any point in the past. And so we're just looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with that. And I ask that you just pray for us and pray for the Czech people. And we're just looking forward to what God's going to do. So, amen.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the work you're doing, my brother. Take your Bible tonight, find Ephesians chapter 3, and one more night we'll be in Ephesians chapter 3 here in this prayer of the Apostle Paul. Hope you've had a wonderful Monday, and looks like all of you survived the frigid temperatures out there, but I'm glad y'all are here tonight, and I was expecting to be a little bit warmer, but boy, I'm going to go home to Florida, just so y'all know. And that's my plan. But what a blessing to be with you guys today. We've eaten royally today and just been treated so kindly. Got a ton of work done today. It's been a good, good day. And I'm glad all y'all came out tonight. It's a good night to come to church, don't you think? It's warm in here. That's a good night to come to church, isn't it? And I'm glad you did. I'm always impressed by all you older folks that come on out on these dark, cold nights. God bless you. And I'm glad you do. I heard a story. I told a couple of men before the service. I heard this story about this older two gentlemen. They met each other in Walmart and hadn't seen each other in years. And the one said, hey, did you hear that I got remarried? He said, you did not. He said, is she pretty? He said, not really. Oh, he said, she got a lot of money. And he said, she doesn't have two nickels to rub together. Well, my goodness, he said, she got a good personality. He said, no, she's probably the grouchiest lady I've ever met. He said, well, my goodness, why did you marry her? He said, because she can see to drive at night. How many old older folks identify, do you? I know you do. And I'm glad y'all came tonight. I know it's not easy, but I'm glad you did. How many of y'all worked today? Anybody work today? Yeah, a lot of you did. How many of y'all made a ton of money? Anybody here? Hope so. And but I'm glad y'all worked today. It's just a blessing to be with you in your church. Sam Waterloo texted me today. And it's good to hear from my buddy Sam, and I've been in his church over there in Illinois. He's a good kid. Y'all know that? And a good guy. He's just a really good preacher, and I like him, and just happy to be a part of your church tonight. Are you ready for reading of God's Word? Here we are in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Wonderful words. Wouldn't you agree? Wonderful prayer. It's actually the second prayer of Paul's in the book of Ephesians. There's another passage where he prays for them, and this one is the primary one where he's just talking to God on behalf of these Ephesians. And did you notice we started and ended in the same place in this prayer? He says, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends it by saying, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now we've looked here in verse 16 that we need his strength. So we talked about the strength you need. We looked at that phrase in verse 17, the growth you need. We looked last night at the fullness we need. And tonight, let's look, if you would please, at the praying we need. This is a prayer. I bow my knees, he says. I bow my knees to the Father. And then he says in verse 20, which is a great verse. You ought to underline verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able. Aren't you glad God is able? Does that bless you tonight? God is able. What's your need? God's able. What's going on in your family? God is able. What miracle are you hoping for? God is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. I love Paul because sometimes when Paul writes, he can't say it excited enough. You know, he talks about his testimony and he'll say, you know, there was a light that shone from heaven the day I got saved. The next time he tells, there's a great light from heaven that shone the next time I... The third time, there was an exceeding great light from heaven. And it's like he does that here. It's enough to say God is able. Don't y'all agree with that? That's enough. I can get that. And he could have just said he's exceeding, you know, he can answer exceeding. No, he said exceeding abundantly above. How many of y'all believe in above and beyond, do you? I used to say that all the time. My kids were with me. We had five, just like this missionary. My kids always sat. And every time they've been here, we'd always sit right there on that front row. That was kind of, we designate the front row as our kids. And there were things I didn't realize I said. I guess I said them and I didn't think about it. I meant them, but I didn't realize I said them all the time. And I was in this one church in Vegas, and we had a great revival. And at the end of the week, I said something like this. I said, you know, I said, church, you have gone above and beyond to make our family feel welcome. You've gone above and beyond. And my daughter leaned over to her brother and out loud said, he says that every week, doesn't he? It's like, way to go, kid. Way to blow a good point. But Paul's that way. God, he's what he says here, is God goes above and beyond. He's able to exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. I get that one, don't you? He can do more than I can ask. Bible says right here, he can do more than I can think. Because there's things I won't ask for, but I can think real big. And yet the Bible says God's not limited by any of that. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful passage about prayer. How many of y'all believe in prayer, do you? You have a favorite story about prayer? I got a lot of favorite Bible stories about prayer. I love the one in Isaiah. I just read that in my devotions. I just finished Isaiah, and now I'm in Jeremiah. And reading through Isaiah, I love that story of Sennacherib. How do you say his name? Sennacherib. I've heard him called Sennacherib. I've heard him called Sennacherib. I just call him Sin. And Sin came and attacked. You know, he came in. He said, I'm going to destroy your land. No God has ever been able to stand against us. And I'm going to win. We're going to attack you guys. You might as well surrender because we're going to win. And you remember what the prophet did and the king went down to the temple and he spread out that, he wrote a letter. They wrote a letter to him and said, we're going to kill y'all. And he put it in front of the Lord and he said, now, Lord, we don't know what to do. We're your people and we're not everything we ought to be, but we're trying here. And Sennacherib over there is trying to, and he just talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord sent a prophet to him. And the prophet said, don't you worry about it. Lord's going to take care of it. Since you humbled yourself, came in, Lord's going to take care of it. And boy, they were bold. The enemy said, I'm telling you, no God's been able to deliver us or to deliver our enemies. You're dead men. And the Lord said, now watch this. And that night, they all went to bed. And the Bible says, when everybody got up in the morning, there's 185,000 of them that had died in the night. That's pretty powerful answer, wouldn't you think? I like that story. I like the story about Peter when he got in jail. Don't you like that Bible story? They arrested Peter. Herod did, put him in jail. The church got together. What was that lady's name? Rhoda? They got together at Rhoda's house, had a prayer meeting. And the Bible said they prayed without ceasing unto God for Peter. And the church just cried, oh, Lord, they're going to kill Peter. Do something, God. And Peter's in the prison, all locked up. And they're over there praying, oh, Lord, you got to do something. Peter's going to die. Lord, help us. And the Lord sent an angel. I just love this story. Lord sent an angel down, and in the middle of the night, the shackles fell off of Peter. He thought he was dreaming. And the doors opened of their own accord. We're so impressed with our technology. We go to Walmart, and the doors just open. They did that in the Bible. And you can read that in the book of Acts. This door just opened of their own accord. And Peter went right through there, and next thing you know, the doors all closed, and he realized, I'm in the street. This isn't a dream. I'm out here in the middle of the street. And he made a beeline for Rhoda's house. Now, I don't know Rhoda, but I want to meet her when I get to heaven. I love Rhoda. I can't wait to meet her because Rhoda just cracks me up. Peter, they're all in there hiding, scared to death. Herod's killing everybody. And they're praying, having a prayer meeting for Peter to get out of prison. God answers. Peter knocks on her door. She goes to the door. And, you know, she didn't know. She's scared. She didn't open the door. Herod's killing people. And Peter says, hey, Rhoda, it's me. And she said, well, now, Peter, it can't be you because I don't know who it is out there. Peter's in prison, but we're in here praying he'll get out. And you know, I don't know who it is out there, but it can't be Peter because we're praying he'll get out. And Peter had to convince, it's me. And I don't know how he said it right. Woman, it's me, okay? And she ran back. She left him out there, bless his heart. Ran back and told him in there in the prayer meeting, hey, Peter's out of jail. Peter's at the door. And the Bible said she had to steadfastly affirm it was so. I'd love to have been there for that, wouldn't you? They're in here having a prayer meeting. Peter will get out of jail. God does it. He shows up at the door, and she has to argue with him that Peter's out of jail. And finally, they realize he really is out there, and they let him in. I'm glad they finally let him in. I love stories about prayer, don't you? I love it. What's your favorite answer to prayer? You ever had a big one? I mean, just really amazing. Prayer's an amazing thing, isn't it? When you pray and God does it, isn't that an amazing thing? Years ago, I was in Florida. Our little Abigail, she was just a tiny thing. I think Josh was a baby. And there was a man who offered to take us up the Silver Springs River. And we're just going to take a boat ride up there. And, you know, it was a beautiful, it was the winter time everywhere else, but it was 80 degrees in Florida. We got out that whole day, and we got in the boat, and I remember what that man said. We got in the boat, and he said to my Abigail, now he said, Abigail, he said, the only place in the USA you can see monkeys in the wild is right here on this river. And years ago, they did a movie here, and they brought all these monkeys in here for the filming, and then they couldn't catch them, and the monkeys escaped, and now they have bred, and now there are monkeys all along this river. The only place in the USA, he said, you can see monkeys in the wild is right here on this river. Then he said to my family, he said, now we probably won't see any because in the wintertime they go inland. You don't find them down here along the water in the wintertime. But he said, maybe God will let us. He said, Abigail, you want to pray about it? She was just a little tiny thing. She said, yes, sir. So she said, now, Lord, so she prayed. She said, dear Lord, we want to see monkeys today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is beautiful. Dear Lord, we want to see monkeys today in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I think we saw 200 of them. They were everywhere. If I'd had to do over, I said, honey, pray for a truck while you're at it. Give Daddy. I mean, God was answering her prayer.
Isn't that glorious? God, how many of y'all know God is real? Do y'all know that? What he's saying right here is, you know this, don't you? He's praying, the church at Ephesus, you need to be full of the Spirit. Y'all say amen to that? You need to be full of Christ. You need to be full of love. You need to be full of God. I think he's also reminding us here indirectly, we ought to be full of prayer. God's people ought to be praying people. We ought to fill our lives full of it. The question I would have for you tonight is, how in the world can we be full of prayer? Now, I think I got time. He gives us four answers I found in the text. All right, how can we be full of prayer? Number one is verse 14. How can you be full of prayer? Well, start here. Bow the knee. Just notice how simple that is. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees. Now, I don't want to go farther than the Bible goes on that, but apparently there are varied levels of prayer. Are y'all aware of that? How many of y'all are aware of the fact you can pray anywhere, anytime, for any reason? Y'all aware of that? You pray while you're driving? Can you pray while you're driving? If you live around here, you should. Say amen. Can you pray when you go to Walmart? Sure. Can you pray while you're doing dishes? Absolutely. You can pray anywhere. You can pray while you're mowing the yard. But notice, this is a different level of praying Paul's experiencing here. In this prayer, he said, I bow my knees. It's a different level of praying. You'll find all over the Bible, there are varied levels of prayer. There's pray without ceasing. That's a level of prayer. Just wherever you are, just take it to the Lord. Wherever you are, talk to God in real time. Wherever you are, just talk to God. Pray without ceasing. This kind of praying, and this passage right here, is on his knees. Now, I don't want to go farther than I should on that, but what I see in that is that's a definite level of praying. I think of it like this. It's probably just practical. Like there is a level of praying that Jesus refers to that involves a place. Are y'all aware of that? Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your, y'all know the word? Your closet, and your Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. I may have not quoted that exactly right. But he talks about a place there where you designate, this is where I'm going to go to pray, to meet with God. My Papaw Young was a moonshiner. He was a hillbilly through and through. He got saved when he was probably around 50. Went to a revival, Papaw Young got saved. Now, Papaw Young never read the Bible in his entire life, not one time. He couldn't read. He could not even sign his own name because my Papaw did not even know the alphabet. Never went to school one day in his life. But he got saved, and after he got saved, he discovered prayer. My dad was almost leaving the home. He got married when he was 18, just right away, got married to my mom. And my dad was leaving home. They had a rough life. They had no electricity. They milked by hand. Granny Young cooked on a wood stove. They were mountain rough people. Papaw got saved. And my dad said he changed after he got saved because when morning milking was done, they all had to milk two or three cows by hand. When morning milking was done, Papaw would say to the boys, all right, now, boys, go home and get breakfast, get ready for school. Tell your mother I'll be there in a few moments. And Dad said we'd all head off for breakfast, and Papaw would come in 5 or 10 minutes later. He started doing that in the evening. We'd get done with milking in the evening. Papaw would say, all right, boys, we're done. Run on, get ready for supper. You go ahead and start. Tell your mom I'll be in there in a few minutes. And he'd come in 5 or 10 minutes later to have supper. My dad said, told me this just several years ago. My dad said, I got curious. What's he doing down there? What's he doing down there? We're done milking. Everything's cleaned up. The milk's where it's supposed to be, and the cows are fed. It's time for what? What's he doing? So my dad said, I circled around one night, went back down there to the barn, find out what he's doing. And my dad said, son, your Papaw had built an altar in the barn. And every morning when milking was done, the man would go to that altar and get on his knees. He couldn't read the Bible. He didn't know how to sign his own name, but he knew God and he had a place to meet with God. Now, brothers and sisters, maybe one of the errors of our generation is we've gotten so busy, so distracted, so on the run, so many screens to scroll. So many times in our generation, we'll pray while we're doing dishes and while we're driving the car, and we'll pray fast little prayers and before we eat and all that. But rarely, rarely in our generation do many of us take time to get to a place where we can bow the knee. That's a rare thing in our culture. Not many believers bow the knee. I don't know how it is for you, but I will tell you that in my life, one of the things I've discovered, that when I kneel and pray, it's different. I honestly pray all the time. I woke up the last two nights somewhere in the middle of the night, and I don't know, does this mean I'm getting old? I just wake up. And, you know, it's dark in the room, and I don't want to disturb Jacob because I'm sharing a room with my Jacob and don't want to bother him. It's dark, so I don't turn any lights on. But I'll wake up and I'll find myself praying. Not a thing wrong with that. I'll pray in the night. I jog today, you know. Bodies like this don't come cheap. And humility doesn't either. I was out jogging today, and I jogged a while and thought, this is really dumb. So I walked. And while I was walking, I talked to the Lord. See, none of that's wrong. But what I'm saying is, when I take the time to find a place to kneel, a place to just get on my knees. Now, there's nothing mystical about it that I know of. It's not the only way to, I say there on that third line, there's a posture involved in prayer. This is what he's talking about. This kind of praying is a place and a time and a posture and maybe a list is what I'm saying. You see that? Jesus said in your closet, Daniel prayed the Bible says he went to his house. He went to his chamber, and he got on his knees, and he prayed three times a day as he had done aforetime. So you get the idea. Daniel has this habit to where here's his place, and this is his time, three designated times every day, to where he kneels. There's a lesson there for me and you. The psalmist said he prayed morning, noon, and evening. He had three times a day. Now, the Bible doesn't command us. So there's no command that says, you ought to pray an hour. Now we sing it, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. I love that old hymn, but that's not a command. There's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible says you got to pray an hour to pray. Y'all with me on that or not? Nowhere in the Bible. So it's not a command. The Bible doesn't say pray this long. The Bible doesn't say you have to do this. I'm just saying this is practical. You will find in the Bible that people who had great prayer lives frequently knelt. And I'm just wondering tonight if maybe one of the first lessons we ought to get from Paul's prayer here is that perhaps if we're going to be full of prayer, one of the things we might ought to work on is bowing the knee. It's just posture. It's not the only one. You know that, don't you? I've probably preached this here before because I think I preach on prayer everywhere I go. It's one of my favorite topics to preach on. You can pray prostrate. You can just fall down. Just fall down. Just go flat on your face if you want to. That's a Bible way to pray. Did y'all know that? It's a Bible way to pray. People pray differently. One of my pastor friends, every time I pray with him, first time I ever prayed with him, I was getting ready to preach. He said, hey, let's have a word of prayer before we go out there. So I went in his office. You know, we're standing here. Let's have a word of prayer. And I said, all right, let's pray. And I bowed my head. So we're going to pray, he said. And I heard this commotion. Opened my eyes, and he was flat on his face. And I didn't know what to do. Do I join him? I didn't know it. I laid on there by him. I just wasn't sure what to do. So I didn't do anything, but he prayed up a storm. See, that's a way to pray. I read the New Testament. You men have read this, haven't you? I hope you've read this before. The Bible says in the New Testament, I would that men pray. Men, males is the word there. I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. It's good for men sometimes to pray like this. Yeah, I tell teenagers, guys, you young men, if you're saved, sometimes y'all pray like this. We open services in prayer. You know, we do that sometimes routinely. If we're not careful, we don't think about it. We say, oh, let's open the service in prayer. And a lot of times that's just a formality, many of us, because we listen to somebody pray. And if we're not careful, it's just something we do. We got to be careful about that. That doesn't just become routine. So what helps me in my church when I'm home and my pastor will say, all right, let's open the service in prayer, I will many, many times put my hands up. And somebody says, now, aren't you Baptist? Yes. Say, well, we're not Pentecostal. Well, Pentecostals may be wrong about a thing or two, but it's not because they do this. Did y'all know that? Because this is actually biblical. Y'all with me on that? So it's okay. I'll put my hands up. So he said, what if I did that? What will people think? Well, if they got their heads bowed and they're praying, they won't know. And if they're peeking, they're not right with God. Let them judge anyway. Are y'all with me on that? So just put your hands up. I tell teenage boys that. Y'all do that sometimes, boys. And just put your hands up when you pray. You don't have to. See, it's just a practical. What a way to pray is to get on your knees. And say, okay, Lord, just me and you to kneel. You know, brothers and sisters, many times I've been able to just kneel and in kneeling see God do miracles. Dave Korn, y'all know that name? Dave Korn, I sat down one day in a staff meeting and chatted. I said, you know, Dave, it's been in my heart for years to try to reach more kids in the public school. I said, you know, Dave, you do all these illusions. You're so stinking good at it. I said, wouldn't it be great if we could come up with a way that you could take these illusions and get into public schools and do a show for the kids? Everybody loves a trick. And find some way to get into schools and do those illusions as a show and then give out invitations and invite them to a church where we could give the gospel. We thought, we brainstormed, we planned, we sat down, we talked about it. Dave Korn and I wrote all this stuff down, came up with these brilliant ideas, and offered it to every school and every town we went to, and everybody turned us down. Nah, not interested. We were in Hampshire, Illinois one night, and Brother Dave and I said to my wife and kids, you guys going back to the RV. We were actually staying at an RV park because this church was in downtown. I said to my sweetheart, Dave and I are just going to get on our knees for a while because we'd really like to have an impact in these public schools. Dave Korn and I, everybody went home. They turned all the lights. We left one light on the Sunday school room, went in there and closed the door. And Dave and I got on our knees. And we just agreed, we're just going to stay here till we feel like the Lord's done. Not going to put a time limit. We just started begging God, just, Lord, I know you love public school kids, and it's so hard. They hear so many things that are wrong. And Lord, we got this gift here and Dave's ability with magic and these illusions. It's just tricks. Lord, we'd like to be used of you. Oh, Lord. Well, I'm serious. Before that night was over, we were in the presence of God. Amen. Tears were flowing. Dave and I didn't want to quit because God was there. We just knew it. You can ask him. It was a wonderful night of prayer. I don't know how long we were there, but man, we just prayed till okay, we're done. Amen. Let's go. Got in the car, went home, went to bed. We left Hampshire, Illinois, went to South Dakota, and I said to the pastor, Dave does illusions. We'd like to try to get into some schools. Do a show, invite the kids over. We're closing on Wednesday night. Why don't we stay Thursday night and see how many teens we can get or how many boys and girls we can get to come to the service? And Dave will do a show, you know, do some tricks here in the auditorium, and I'll preach to them. Pastor said, well, that sounds like a wonderful idea. Well, next thing you know, that pastor, he made a few phone calls, came back, and he said, well, I couldn't get any schools, he said, but there's a boys and girls club, said you can come down there. There's another boy and girls club, said you can come down there. Oh, he got a call. He said, I got a call from the largest Native American boarding school in the country. It's right here. And they said, you can come and have an hour and a half with our students. You just can't give an invitation. They said, you can even preach if you want to. You just can't give an invitation. Dave and I drove up. 400 teenagers showed up in that assembly room. Dave did a whole bunch of tricks. I got up and preached the gospel. And I just said to the kids, now they said we can't give an invitation, but that's how you get saved. And you come tomorrow night, we'll tell you again how to get saved over here at the church. So Dave and I had to pack it all up because that was Wednesday afternoon. We had church that night. We're packing up all of his illusions. And kids started lining up. Next thing you know, we had 9 kids been saved so far, teenagers from all over the country. And the next night, we had to average about 70 in that revival. It was a small church. We had about 70. The next night, Thursday night, we had 249 people show up, and 49 people got saved. It was glorious. Dave and I went to this one revival one time, and we got in Ohio, and the pastor, bless his heart, is a big old church, and he was a little down. And the pastor said, now, Dave, I'm so glad you're here. But he said, I don't think any kids are going to come. I mean, you can do, you'll probably have 3 or 4 or 5. But you say, it's school, probably a bad time to have revival. You know, we're here, there. He scheduled us. We didn't come here on our own. He's the one that invited us. Now he's telling us it's not going to work. And it's bad. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, it's a busy time. If I had Dover, I probably wouldn't have scheduled this revival. And, you know, we're like, well, we're glad we're here. So Dave said, I guess. He said, Brother Dave, I guess we ought to pray. So we went backstage on a Monday afternoon, and we got on our knees for an hour. We just got on our knees. Okay, Lord, pastor's discouraged. We want you to encourage him. And he said there'd probably be 5 or 10 kids show up. We want to see at least, Lord, I don't know, 100? Dave's over here going, Lord, we'd like to have 100. Pastor said there'll be at least 10. Dave's over here going, Lord, let us see 100. I'm thinking either God's here or that guy's nuts. Monday night, we had 105 children show up for the children's revival. I'm just saying, see how practical that is? Just got to find a place, set aside a time, get on your knees, maybe make a list. I don't know if Paul wrote this down or not, but he's got a list here, doesn't he? He said, I want, number one, you to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in your inner man. And then he said, I want Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith. And I want you to be root God and help them to be rooted and grounded in your love. And, oh, Lord, help them to be filled with all of your fullness. Somebody says, our family's a mess. Have you gotten on your knees much and really poured out your heart to God about that? I've tried to win so-and-so to Jesus for years. Oh, Lord, I don't know. Have you gotten on your knees? Notice how simple this is. How do you live a life full of prayer? Start here, bow the knee. Does that make sense? Y'all with me on that one? Start here. Here's number two. Number two, know that he is able. Now, I've already touched on that. But move from verse 14, bow the knee, to verse 20. Now unto him that is able. My goodness, we could probably preach about that all night, couldn't we? Because if there's one thing we know that our God is able. Is he able to save anybody? Talk to me, y'all. Is he able to save anybody? I read in the Bible. You ever read this in the Bible? The Bible says, now, unto him who is able to save to the uttermost. Y'all read that? To the uttermost. And the Bible says that he's praying for those who need to be saved. The Bible says that in that text. He's praying for them. You go to the book of Romans, and the book of Romans says that the Spirit of God, that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. And it occurred to me one day, if I understand this right now in the heavenly realm of the triune God, Jesus Christ is interceding for those who need to be saved. And the Spirit of God is interceding for those of us who are saved. You find one of those when the writer said he's able to save to the uttermost them who come unto God through Jesus. He's talking about intercessory prayer there. That's Jesus praying for those who need to be saved. And you find in the book of Romans that the Spirit of God makes groanings and intercessions for us that cannot be uttered. If I understand that, Jesus right now is praying for every person who needs Christ, who needs to be saved. He wants souls to be saved. Even Jesus is praying about it, interceding in heaven. I don't understand all that, but your Bible teaches that. And the Spirit of God is praying for me and you. Well, think about it. Even the triune God is involved in this spiritual warfare. He's almighty. He's our God. He's all about prayer. You know God is able, don't you? Why, God saved you, didn't he? I reckon he could save anybody, couldn't he? I reckon he can. He saved me and you. You were hard-hearted, weren't you? Some of you didn't want to get saved. You put it off. You put it off. You put it off. You said no. You said no. We can't give up. He's able. I got a neighbor that I sometimes wonder, is that man ever going to get saved? He's the friendliest guy in the world. He calls me Mr. Dave. How you doing, Mr. Dave? So he calls me, how you doing, Mr. Dave? He's a welder by trade. How you doing, Mr. Dave? Nicest guy in the world. Welds all day, drinks all night. That's his life. Welds all day, drinks all night. But he always shows me respect. Oh, Mr. Dave, I've tried to get him saved for 10 years now. I stopped by there, I don't know, maybe about Christmas time, stopped by his house, rolled down the window of my truck, and I said to him, I said, hey, should I stop coming over here and talking to you about Jesus? He put his beer can down, turned around and put his finger in my face, said, whatever gave you that idea? I said, well, it's been 10 years. You still hadn't one time come to church with me and you haven't gotten saved. And he said, let me tell you something. Put his finger in my mouth. Let me tell you something. Just like that. Let me tell you something. He said, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm going to hell, and I know I need to get saved. One of these days I'm going to, when I do, I'm coming to your church, all right? Okay, how about Sunday? I mean, if I was just dive in while we're on that deep end. Well, here's the whole deal. Sometimes in human, I look at, is he ever going to get saved? Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says, now unto him who is able. Now unto him that is able. Let's start right here. Know that your God is able. How many of you have a family member that weighs on your heart? Anybody here like that? Somebody, yeah, don't you know your God's able? Don't you know your God's able? Your son, your daughter, don't you know God loves them more than you do? Don't you know that his fingerprints are all over their lives? He's able. He's able. He's able. Don't you stop. Get on your knees and believe God is able. That's the lesson we're learning here about prayer from Paul right here in Ephesians chapter 3. Bow the knee. Know that he is able. I'll be done here in a moment. Ask in faith. Now notice how simple this is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. If we're not careful in our culture, we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. We'll share our burden about it, but we don't ask much. You and I aren't praying until we're asking. You got to go to God. You got to get on your knees. You got to take it to God. You got to ask. You got to ask. And what I would say to you is, you got to ask in faith. The idea of faith is believing. How many of y'all know about that, right? You ask in faith, believing. Here's how I write it down. Praying in faith involves three things. Number one, a confidence that God is almighty. If you believe God is almighty, let me know that by saying amen. Do you believe that? Amen. God is almighty. But it's not just that God is almighty. I got to trust that God is good. And combined with that, it is an awareness that prayer makes a difference. See, praying in faith is not mystical. It's not like, okay, that guy's got great faith. Oh, my word, I wish I had his great faith. We ought not to think that way. Because, you know, the Bible, you've read this, I'm sure, in the Bible. You know where the Bible says, if you have faith as a mountain, you can move mustard seeds. Y'all know about that verse? Well, I hope you don't, because it's not there. What does Jesus say? If you have faith as a little old tiny mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, why would he say that? Because God is almighty. See, it's not that, oh my word, Dave Corn and Dave Young, my goodness, they must have great faith. No, we don't. Tell you what we do have, though, we have faith enough to ask. Dave Corn said, pastor said, there's only 10 kids here tonight, and he's all discouraged about it. Brother Dave, let's pray for at least 100, because if he had 100 kids show up, that probably encouraged pastor. Because one thing we know, if 100 kids shows up, somebody has to bring them, so there'll be a whole lot of adults there as well. Right? It's practical all over the place. So Dave and I really did. We just pray, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, right here, back here off stage. Either you will or you won't, but we'd sure like to see you put it in somebody's heart to get all their kids. Let's have 100. Lord, we want to see 100 kids here tonight. We just prayed up a storm. Why? Because God is almighty. Prayer is saying, Lord, you can. That's why I'm asking, because you could. You remember that leper that came to Jesus? The leper came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Can I paraphrase it? He says this to Jesus. He said, you know, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. And I'd paraphrase it and say, like, Jesus said, well, I want to be clean. That's Tennessee, and y'all got that? Well, if you want to, well, I want to. God is almighty. Pray in faith. Pray. And notice, trust that God is good. The faith is not just confidence, it's trust. You can especially, how many of y'all believe that God can heal? Do y'all believe that? Healing is a great way to see this, because I think it's always right to pray for healing. You say, well, I don't know if I should or not. Well, then pray about that. So I don't know if I ought to ask God for that. Pray about it. Say, Lord, I don't know if I ought to ask you for this or not, but if I were going to ask you, here's what I'm asking for, and I'm not sure if I should or not, so help me to know whether I should. And since I don't know, I'm just going to ask, help me, Lord. See, just pray. Just in real time, God's real. Y'all believe that? He already knows what's going on in your heart anyway, so pray like that. Pray in confidence. God, you can. That's why I'm asking. But whatever you do, you're good, so I'm going to trust you. Say, Lord, I got cancer, and I want you to heal this cancer. And, Lord, I know you can. Your name is healer. I know that your name is Healer. I know that you could heal me without any effort on your part. You are well able. You are Almighty God. You can do anything. I'm praying that you will heal me. But, oh, Lord, I'm trusting you, because if you have a different plan, I'm okay with that too. You see how faith works? It's not demand. All right, God, you have to do it because you're the healer. No, he's Almighty God. And sometimes his plans aren't my plans. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. Sometimes the sickness you and I get, it's God's plan to get us to heaven. Do y'all believe in heaven? I mean, I hope you do, because wouldn't heaven be wonderful? We used to sing when I was a boy, "Won't it be wonderful there?" How many of y'all know that song? Man, it's the truth. I'm not afraid of going to heaven. Wasn't COVID hysterical? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, it was serious. I have friends that are in heaven because of COVID. That's serious stuff. But I didn't want to be crippled by it. So what if I were to die? Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that? I'd be in a place where there's no sickness, no suffering, no sorrow, no dying, no crying, no turmoil, no tragedy, no more temptations. Oh, don't you feel sorry for Lazarus in the Bible? The man died, was in heaven for 4 days, and Jesus brought him back. I mean, don't you feel sorry for him? I can't prove this. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I think he walked out of the tomb, and he was like, seriously? I mean, wouldn't you have been that way? I mean, I love living. I want to see Jake get married. I want to see Charity grow up. I want to love on my granddaughter Ellie and my grandson James. I love living life, but heaven is a wonderful place. So I can trust God about that. Jesus, I want you to heal me, but if you got another plan, I'm coming home. See, you can trust God. The idea of prayer is to say, Lord, you're almighty, and I'm trusting that you're good, and I'm aware that this is how you get the job done. Church, that's why we ought to pray big, because prayer works. Prayer makes a difference. What would have happened that revival in Ohio if David and I had joined Pastor and said, well, you're probably right, it's a bad time, and I don't know, maybe we should just close tonight. But we asked, and we saw God. Wonder what would have happened if Dave and I had just given up on that little public school ministry he had on his heart. But because we prayed it through, thousands of young people have come to faith in Christ because of a young man that grew up in your church, because of a prayer meeting in a little old tiny church in Hampshire, Illinois. A prayer meeting. We prayed big. I always loved traveling with Dave Korn. He and I were always praying big. We saw so many miracles, Dave and I did. Just, okay, God, help, do it. Lord said, all right, I will. It's glorious. It's glorious. I just love to be able to go to God and say, okay, Lord, I know what you're going to do here, but here's the need. God, I'm coming to you because you're almighty, and I'm going to trust whatever you do is good because you're my God and you're good. But I'm aware that prayer works. That's why I pray for revival, because prayer works. I had the weirdest thing today. Today I was sitting at breakfast reading my Bible in the motel lobby. Nobody was in there but me. Just quiet down there in the lobby. TV wasn't on, for which I was thankful. Prayed about that. And it's quiet down there. And I was just sitting there thinking about where we are in this world and what's going on in the world. And this is the weirdest thing. So all of a sudden, I felt like the Spirit of God put it in my heart. You know, you ought to pray for Joe Biden. Wouldn't it be amazing to see that man come to faith in Christ? So I didn't really thought about that in a while, but just felt like I spent a little time this morning praying for our president. I disagree with him on so many levels, it's probably scary. But you know what? He's a living soul. I know God could, and I know prayer works. What about your family? Don't you think you ought to pray big about it? What about this town that has so many people in this town that yet need Christ? I've only been here 3 days this year. I'm just driving around your town Saturday, and yesterday, and a little bit today. I've met people in your town these last 3 days that so obviously need the Lord. Prayer makes a difference. Oh, church, let's pray big. I'm done.
Don't forget this. When you're praying, God is working. Don't forget this. When you're praying, God is working. Say, Dave, I've prayed for my son for years. If you're praying, God is at work. See, God doesn't force a heart, but He keeps on working in that heart. So you keep on praying. When you're praying, you got a neighbor and you keep on praying. God's working in that neighbor. You keep on praying. Don't forget that. Bow the knee. Know He is able. Ask in faith. And remember that prayer makes a difference. What's the difference it makes? Well, God hears us. And verse 21 tells us the difference it makes. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What happens when God's people are full of the Spirit and full of Christ and full of love and full of God and full of prayer? There's glory in the church. It's visible. You can see it. God is there. God is real. God is moving. God is working. Prayers are being answered. Lives are being changed. Isn't that what all of us want to see? That God is real and see evidence of it? There's nothing any worse than cold, formal, dead, nothing religion. Nothing any worse than that. Nothing any worse than just going to church because that's what we do and never see any evidence that God is real. I am telling you what Paul is saying here is that when you and I live this way, when you and I are full of this kind of prayer, there's a power that works in us, he says at the end of verse 20. And the result of that is there is glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Man, we need to see glory in our churches. And it's connected to our praying. How many of y'all know I could preach about this all night? But I'm going to close right there. Because here's our fourth decision of this revival week. I will pray. Maybe you ought to say, I'll start a prayer life. Because some of you gotten too busy lately and you really don't have much of a prayer life. Maybe you could get on your knees tonight and make a commitment. I'll start a prayer life. I'll keep on praying. Some of you a little discouraged over a family need or a financial need or some situation. Lord, I'll keep on praying. And there's some of you got a need in your life. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray big. Just this is our decision tonight. Why, if you're here tonight, it's Monday night, there's any chance at all you're either far from God or you don't even know Him. Why, you know what you ought to do. You ought to get to God because He's real. Number one, if you're not saved, Jesus did die for your sins and was buried and was raised from the dead. Oh, dear friend, believe on Him. Pray about it tonight. Let us pray with you. You can leave here on your way to heaven and know it. It's real. Why, if you're far from God tonight, somebody walked in this building tonight and you know things aren't well, God is real. Come on to Him tonight. Make an altar at one of these steps tonight. Or come down here on the front pew and make an altar tonight. And just come back to God. He's real. Prayer's a great place to meet God. So come to Him tonight. Would you be willing tonight to consider kneeling? I don't push invitations. I think you can pray at your seat as well as at an altar. But since we're talking tonight about bowing the knee, might be good for many of us tonight to just kneel around this auditorium and say, Lord, I'm all in. I will pray. And I need Your help, Lord, because I'm awfully busy. I will pray. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed. In fact, let's not even wait for a piano tonight. If you feel like you're willing to make a commitment, I'm going to start a prayer life. I'm going to pray about this matter that I've been discouraged about. I'm going to pray big. I'm far from God, but I want to come back to God, and I want that. Come on. I want to be saved tonight. Come and kneel tonight and talk to God about it. She's going to begin playing the hymns. As soon as she hits the notes, let's just keep praying. She's going to play for us when she's ready, and we'll just go to prayer. Just a few moments. Just a few moments. We're just going to prayer and making commitments tonight. Just tell God, Lord, if You'll help me, I'll start a prayer life. God, there's a need here, and I've been discouraged about it, but I see that You're almighty, and I'm all in. I'm going to pray more about that. I'm going to pray big about these needs. Just make a real commitment tonight, church family. Is there anybody at all who would say, Dave, I just got to be honest, I'm not even sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? I don't know Jesus. I don't know Christianity. I don't know God, but I want to. Anybody that way? Just let me know that. Anybody that way? Just wave your hand at me. Anybody that way at all? Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Anybody that way at all? We'd love to pray with you and for you. Anybody at all? Anybody who would say, Dave, I'm going to be honest, I'm far from God. I think I'm going to heaven, but I know things aren't right between me and God. I sure need to come back to Him. Pray for me about it. Lift your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody that way? I know I've got a long way to go to get back to God, but I'm all in. I'm ready to come back. Pray for me. Anybody at all in this building tonight? Bless you. You know Jesus? Then come back to Him. Just surrender all to Him. Ma'am, He loves you. Just pour your heart out to Him right there. Say, Jesus, I'm coming back. I want to be right with You. Just pray. Yes, ma'am, you do the same, will you? Will you just pray? Lord, I'm coming back. Amen. You want somebody to come back and pray with you? Yeah, Pastor, is there a lady that could do that? This lady back here, out on the back corner back there. She's got her hand up. Go right back there and have prayer with her, would you? She's going to come right back there and pray with you. Amen. Anybody else want prayer tonight? You want somebody to come pray with you? They'll meet you at your seat if you do. We'll come right back to you. Anybody at all? Amen. Amen. Thanks for hearing God's word tonight. Gracious audience, thanks for letting me preach through Ephesians 3, 4 sermons. I've enjoyed sharing God's word with you. Amen. All right, Pastor.
Some are still praying, so we want to give time to talk to the Lord, so let's take a few more minutes to do that. Good to be in God's house, amen? It's called the house of prayer. And you can always come to God's house and pray. It's a good place to kneel and pray, and especially when you have a specific need and just when you need to talk to the Lord. Either one, definitely good. So praise the Lord for that. We want to remind everybody we'll be back tomorrow night and Wednesday. And I hope you get by. And Brother Dave Young, you appreciate it. Appreciate them. I'll announce just one more time. We are taking up a special offering. If you'd like to give to that, you can do that online, or we got the offering boxes in the back, or even at the bookstore if you'd like to, if God leads you in that direction. They've been a blessing to us. We want to be a blessing to their ministry. And again, just if God leads you in that direction. But we appreciate it, Brother Young, and looking forward to it. And what a great reminder. Great reminder. Amen. So let's close in a word of prayer. And just remind you, don't forget your kids. That's very important. Do not forget the kids. Amen. Lord, we thank You for the night, Lord, and just Your word, a great reminder, Lord. We thank You that we can come before You anytime. And Lord, there ought to be some specific times as well. We thank You for that. And Lord, I pray we all can improve in our relationship with You in our time of prayer. We thank You for revival and a great reminder. So use it now in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. Hi, I'm Pastor John Waterloo. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the service. I hope one day you can connect with us here in our church service as well. That'd be such a great blessing. We'd also like to let you know about just some other resources we have. You can jump on our Facebook page or our website, wherever you like, and find out about our ministries. But again, we'd love to have you join with us one day. Thank you so much for being in our services, and may the Lord bless you.